What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. We're talking about team building and athletic training. And I know Johnny Gomez over in Northbrook, they do some really cool stuff. They do have really good programs consistently. And then it's kind of like idealistic. I've got Allen ISD here. They've got 50-plus student athletic trainers consistently producing good, solid, quality student athletic trainers or student athletic training aides. So I've got Mary Miller, Che Nearsian. I apologize. I knew I was going to mess that one up. And Mike Harrison from Allen ISD. So we're going to talk about how do you consistently build a solid team of sports medicine helpers, sports medicine aides, student athletic training aides, whatever the terminology is, don't get caught up on that. But how do you consistently build those teams? And again, I don't feel like I'm an expert in this. I feel like I'm actually kind of slacking in this in the last few years. And so that's why I'm coming to you guys, because I know I'm not the only person that needs help here with building these solid teams. If you want to join this conversation or check the show notes, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/teambuilding. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/teambuilding. Okay, Johnny, let's go. We'll go ahead and start with you. Tell me a little bit about some of the things your program has accomplished, and then we're going to go right back right to you with the same question, Ed Allen. All right, go ahead, Johnny.
Well, you know, some of the things that we have done, not just at my school, but in my district, we kind of done our own Spring Branch ISD student athletic trainer workshop. And so with that, we, all four high schools, is basically a smaller GHATS. It's about, you know, 80 to 100 kids from all four schools. Springwoods, they have, they tend to do outreach stuff to some of the elementaries. And so to kind of like get some of those kids to kind of get an early look at some of the things that we do. So then when they come up to high school that, you know, they're interested in doing it. And so it's kind of, you know, all of us together as a whole, we try to see what we can do to kind of do more team type things. So at our workshop, you know, we used to do a student trainer workshop, student trainer Olympics. And then we kind of got out of that because we were starting to have some bad weather because we were doing it outside. So then we come up with different type of games, you know, whether it be like quiz bowl type games or, you know, where we would have like different stations and they had to go through and answer questions, and we would mix the teams like between the schools. So then, you know, cause you have your rivals, like ours is Springwoods, and, you know, so we try to break some of that rivalry on a good end, like try to make sure that, you know, everybody likes each other and sees each other at camps and at GHATs and all these different things. As far as what I've done personally, just at, you know, on our level, at the high school, you know, we try to do team building things like we're actually looking at maybe doing laser tag for the kids. And that maybe end up something we end up doing at the Spring Branch workshop that we always host it in March for National Athletic Training Month. We do end of the year the Christmas gift exchange in December, and we do a student senior dinner in May. And basically it's like, you know, we find a restaurant that can hold, you know, we usually carry between 25 and 35, and then I'll put together like a slideshow you know, for all those seniors that are graduating, so the kids can kind of, you know, reflect on, you know, the good times that they've had. I give them I make a memory book for them. I used to do individual kids, and then that kind of just started getting a little too hard. So I started doing it as a whole for that class. And then each student will get like their own page with pictures and stuff. But, you know, throughout the whole thing, there's pictures of their whole 4 years or the time that they put in.
Okay, so you're basically making a sports medicine specific yearbook with
pretty much
the seniors being highlighted, or each student being highlighted?
Mainly the seniors, since it's for them. And, you know, because each year when they graduate, I can use, you know, more pictures and stuff. And so, but throughout, it's got pictures of everybody. I mean, and it's got like all the things that we've done. Like we've gone to A&M for a workshop. They've gone to camps. They've gone to, you know, our SBISD thing. When we've gone to Rockets games, when we've gone, you know, I go to their senior picnic, and I go to, you know, their just some of the things that they do with their senior class, the powder puff, and I kind of take pictures and just kind of get some of those things that may not be in the book. So.
All right, so definitely a lot of stuff going on there. Let's jump over to the athletic trainers here at Allen again. We got Che, Mary, and Mike. What are some of the things that your program has accomplished? So maybe you've sent 10 seniors every year on a scholarship to college, or you have 4 kids working in the NFL, that kind of thing. So what are some of the things that have come out of your program there at Allen ISD?
Well, besides students going off to college, I mean, we have a lot that have gone on. Right now, I know one for sure is working at A&M Commerce. She's the assistant athletic trainer there. Several working in the clinical industrial setting. And not only is it just our student trainers, we've had several athletes who have gone on into athletic training who've come in, asked us questions and that, and all of a sudden we see them 4 years later and they're graduating with a degree in athletic training and gone on, and they've contacted us in the past and had one of them shadow us this year. He's doing his master's at UTA this year. And we had one young lady who worked with professional hockey for a little while. One who works with cheerleading, working in the whatever the national organization is, she works for them as an athletic trainer. We've had several who are at area high schools now, working as professional athletic trainers at the high school setting. And then we have some that have gotten out and just started teaching.
So lots of your students have gone on to continue athletic training or maybe use it to be something along the lines of doctor, nurse, physical therapist, or a teacher, or something completely different. But you've graduated a lot of kids who have become productive members of society, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, we have one that teaches in the district now.
Yeah.
The high school. So, oh, yeah.
That's always cool to go back and see. Actually, one of our culinary arts teachers, I taught him when I was teaching biology, and now he works here. And, I mean, he's gotten all sorts of awards. He just won a national award where they're going to be giving him a prize in Las Vegas next month. And it was just cool to see, you know, I taught that kid, even though it was biology, you know, obviously he did a lot of stuff on his own, but I taught that kid, now he's back here. So that's always cool to see that. All right. So Johnny told us a lot of stuff that he's done as far as team building, things that he does to kind of build support and support his seniors and the students in general. What are some of the things that you guys at Allen have done? Because like I said, you have 50 plus, and did you say all of them are girls?
No. Not now.
Not now?
We're
finally getting boys.
Yeah.
Okay. So when say you have, I don't know, 75% girls, it tends to be that there's more drama with girls, more cat fights, more, you know, that kind of things. And so what are you guys doing to make that consistently like a good working relationship?
Well, first of all, at the start of the school year in August, we have a 3-day workshop that we bring all of our student trainers 9 through 12 in and go over everything about the program. And whether they're a freshman or a senior, as a senior, they've heard it 4 times by that point, but it's like CPR. It's a refresher. To where policies and procedures, expectations, we do a little bit of team building on goal setting, positive affirmations, that kind of thing. And then, of course, getting into the skills on the last day and getting ready for practice to start up the next week. Throughout the season, we basically give them ownership in everything. Ownership in setting up the field. They have different jobs that they have to assign, and we have two student trainers that are voted as head trainers for the varsity. And so those two are basically like the team captains, and they'll set the jobs, or they'll have some of the other student trainers help them set the jobs for practice. And then they do it for games as well. So we kind of run it at almost like a college setting, to where it's their team and they're working for the team behind the team kind of thing. There is some drama, sometimes worse than others, especially with a bunch of girls. We had 2 males and 13 females on varsity football alone this year. Total this year, we had 55 student athletic trainers. Last year, we had about
68.
The year before, we had about 75. So this past year was good. We only had to have a, what I call, come to Jesus meeting once. And it was basically to tell them, hey, you guys are all in this together. How are you being a good teammate? You know, how are you building this team up and being positive and working together versus going at each other and not helping and making things way worse? So we have a lot of conversations on that. At the end of every day, we have an EOD, which is an end of the day meeting. And it could be as simple as, okay, make sure that you remember this for tomorrow. Or it could be a 5-10 minute meeting of fixing something that happened at practice or talking about the upcoming events or, you know, whatever it may be. And getting all the, everything out to where everybody's together. Everybody knows what's going on. And we trickle that down to the JV as well. The JV is split into two teams. They work at games every other week. And I do the same conversations with them. Okay, positive affirmations. You know, what are you going to tell a teammate or your friend that's going to make them feel better? It's a lot better to tell them a compliment than it is to talk behind their back. And so we try to really build that up across the board with our whole program. Anything else you can think of?
One of the things, if the issue doesn't get resolved, then what we have done is we put them in the locker room and said, okay, mm-hmm. all gloves are off. You can say whatever you want to say about that person that you don't like and vice versa. And I mean, it's we've gotten positive results out of it. I mean, it's no holds barred. And we've had some pretty good arguments, and then we've had the kids coming out crying and everything. And then we've had better years, better rest of the season of them working together. And we tell them the only way this is going to work is we have to work together as one. And that's the only way you can win any team. And I said, that includes us. So we've got to do that. We're the support for everyone around here. So we have to be working together. If we're not working together, then things fall apart. Some things we've done in the past when we were a little bit smaller, we have hosted and it's harder to do this now because of we've hosted dissections here. Where we've had other sports medicine groups in the district come in and view with maybe our team doctor and question and answer and been able to intermingle with other student athletic trainers from other programs. We go to NTATs every year, and the kids, we'll do things to get ready for the Trainer Olympics that they have there at NTATs. We will post camps, summer camps for the kids to go to. And generally the rule is you can't repeat the same one that you've already been to. We have quite a few that go as a group to that. Some other things we have done in the past has been we've done a ropes course 1 year prior to start the season off. But again, it was a smaller group of student trainers that we've done that with and trying to get them closer together. One of the things that we have that's different is that we almost have a new group of student trainers every varsity year for football. 1 year we totally had all seniors, and the next year and by the end of the season, what we do is reward a student trainer each week for their performance on the JV level and that to come up and work with the varsity team, and it rotates each week. They could be selected twice, but out of that group, at the end of the year, we'll either bring up one or two, depending on the numbers, one or two to work with us for the rest of the football season during the playoffs. And what that has done is kind of bridge the gap of some of the younger ones learning how everything works at the varsity level and can basically start leading the next group in during our varsity season. Because as we all know, it is different from working a JV game to a varsity game. The intensity level goes up. There's more going on behind the scenes than there is at a JV or freshman game. And so we've implemented some of those things to help reward our students to work and that. And some of them can be pretty competitive, and then you have some of them that need to be pushed along a little, you know, but it's just an incentive for them.
I got you. One of the things you guys said you did was send people to summer camp. Johnny, I know that's one of the things you guys do as well. Johnny, you guys actually do a lot of fundraising and provide a scholarship to one of the summer camps. Can you talk a little bit more about that for me?
Yeah. So we sell Chick-fil-A for breakfast every morning. You know, I break my kids up into groups, usually have about 5 to 6 groups, depending on how many students I have. And then with those groups, you know, one group is working this game for the week. And if this group is inside early group, then they are selling Chick-fil-A in the morning. And so we kind of just rotate. So everybody's helping with the fundraiser. And so we have Chick-fil-A delivered at 7 a.m. and we sell it until about right when the bell rings. And so we usually have like, you know, 3 to 5, depending on who's able to get there on time and so forth. And it usually works pretty well. I think this year I did change it up to where I had to make the group smaller, because when the groups were so big that some of the kids expected the other kids in the group to do it for that week. And so so I kind of had to make it a little bit smaller. That way they were all, you know, being depended on with helping raise money with that. We do, with our contract that we have with Memorial Hermann, we get so much money that we can put, each high school gets to put it towards scholarships. And so we give either the money for a scholarship, so for college, for, you know, maybe some of those seniors, or, you know, if, you know, we didn't have enough apply or whatever, you know, then we can use some of that money also towards summer camps. And then I've had Booster Club also give me, sponsor me so many kids to go to camp. And so I kind of just, I make them all apply. They do a little application. And if they don't do the application, then they don't get to go. And then it also depends on what, how much money we have left in our account. So I do try to send as many as I can. And we do go to the same camp every year, just because it's, because we have to take them and pick them and bring them. So, so we have to get on a bus and drive, and, you know, it's easier just to go to A&M, and plus they have a pretty good camp. We might try some others like University of Texas. I've done those. I've done UT, A&M. I've done the in Kingsville. So, and then we've done one HBU when they've had them here. So I've tried, you know, a lot of different ones. But right now, I guess it's consistently it's been the A&M camp. So yeah.
All right, Mike. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about the ropes course? Kind of how does that work out for you guys?
That year, it worked out really good, because the people that we use, they direct the whole thing. And basically, it was learn how to trust each other and overcoming some of your fears. I mean, you've got some of them who didn't even want to get on the high ropes, or some of them who didn't want to get into the poggles and that. So a lot of it is they learned to trust each other pretty quick in that group, because we had a lot of individuality in that group that year. And after it was done, I mean, that was one of the things they talked about for years. And I don't even know, this place was in Addison. And I don't even know if it's still open. Because this one was indoors. It wasn't an outdoor ropes course. It was an indoor ropes course that we did, which was pretty neat to see. But everything was geared towards team building, trust, and overcoming your fears, and just being able to get outside of your shell.
All right, and then I also want you to talk about the lock them in a room, all gloves off kind of thing. It sounds pretty dangerous with high school kids. So tell me a little bit more about how that works.
Well, this past season, it was kind of a slow build up to this, to where they were kind of, I could tell there was some drama going on. And unfortunately, we had one of our football players had passed away from cancer. We had just returned from his funeral, and the message at his funeral was, be a good teammate. You know, he was an very selfless, I mean, always looking out for his teammates and cheering them on and stuff like that. And so basically, to live on his legacy, I talked to our kids about that and said, hey, you know, are you a good teammate? Are you helping each other, or are you talking behind each other's back? Are you treating each other like you want to be treated? That kind of thing. And I said, you guys need to sit together and talk this out and get stuff off your chest. And it, you know, without us there to monitor, they talk a lot more than they do when we're standing there. But just basically telling them, this is your time to discuss with each other, good, bad, whatever, get it off your chest, and then come to the realization you all are together in this. And so, you know, they sat out on the turf in our indoor facility and talked for a good 15, 20 minutes after we got back. And after that, the rest of the season was great. At least it seemed from our point of view. We didn't have any issues after that. Everybody seems to be working together. You know, it was good. And we don't, there was a few years ago, we had a bad one to where we had some that were pretty hotheads and thought they were all that and all that. And so we had to have a pretty good conversation, and that I led myself because I was going to monitor and referee that one. But for the most part, I mean, once they get to that point, most are seniors by the time, you know, we get to that point in varsity. We only have maybe one or two juniors there, but they need to understand too that this is part of their program. This is their deal. They have to have pride and positive and all that stuff in it. So that's kind of how we handle that.
All right, Johnny, some of the things you were telling me, if you were to pick one thing that you feel like has been the most beneficial in building consistent teams, what would you say that one thing is, or where I should start with just one thing? Because if I try to do all these things, it's not going to work. But if I pick one of these things and do it, what do you think is going to work, Johnny?
Well, so when I, you know, when I first started at Northbrook, you know, and I think that's kind of where I had more of the success was that, you know, I tried to figure out, you know, I tried to remember, number one, when I was a student trainer, what was one of the things that made me, like, you know, work harder or do my best. And what I always felt was that giving the kids more responsibility and, like, more, try to put them more in a leadership type, you know, position, then they would, they want to own it. They want to, like, try to do their best at it. And so, that's kind of one thing that I've done. And it's kind of, you know, it fizzles out every once in a while, and you kind of have to reevaluate everything and try to, like, a different approach and stuff. But that's where I felt like I had the most success. And so what I'm saying is that, like, I would have, you know, 30 kids, and I would break them up into, you know, six groups of five. And, you know, each one had a leader and then a co-leader. And those two were, you know, mainly or usually juniors or seniors that have had, you know, a lot more of the learning background and components that I wanted them to know. And so it was their job to teach their three people below them. And so, like, they were the mentors of them. And so, and we would kind of grade them on that, and, you know, and kind of, you know, and I say we would reward them by, you know, okay, so you're in charge of this game. I want you to assign everybody their positions and do this and that. And so that, you know, they would want to do those types of things. So I've always felt like trying to give them that leadership in their individual groups kind of helped them as a whole. And then whenever those underclassmen below them didn't really succeed, they would, like, get on them. Hey, look, you know, we need to do this. And, you know, there's sometimes where we kind of get into the whole drama thing where, you know, she thinks she knows it all, la, la, la. And then you're like, look, you know, she is earned the spot. It's your job to listen and learn. Okay. It's not your job to start pointing fingers and doing this. You know, we're not going to be a team if we're complaining about all these other people. And so, you know, it would work out in the end. And then, you know, you kind of, those ones who don't really want to get on board, you know, they tend to weed themselves out and kind of fall off. So, you know, you just kind of hope for that for some of those, but then, you know, just keep paying attention and making sure you're developing the ones who want to be developed. So,
all right. So giving leadership, breaking them into small groups, kind of setting them up to be a mentor, because then they're invested in the program. The kids are invested because it's not just all coming from you. All right. Very good. All right.
And then I would, like, tell them, and look, you're going to be in this position too. So I need you to learn, so then you can teach the people below you. So where they start to teach each other as they keep going on.
All right. Very good. Very good. That, yeah, we kind of do some of that to where, all right, you know, you guys teach them how to do this, but I don't know that I do it as well as saying you are also going to be a leader. You know, you need to learn so that you can also teach the younger people below you. I just kind of say, all right, you guys, if you want to learn, then ask your other students and they'll teach you, that kind of thing. So I'm definitely learning some things here. All right, Mary, what would you say if I was going to start with one thing from you guys, what would that be?
I would say set a structure for your program. We have a handbook that is basically gives the expectations, policies, procedures for attendance, for working games, for discipline, for grades, for dress code, everything, and stick by those parameters. It's kind of like, I kind of look at it from a parent point of view. When you are structured and not necessarily strict, but if you're structured with your kids, they're going to follow and be more successful than if you just are haphazardly throwing them out there here and there, because then they don't know what to do. They don't, you know, they're not sure. They think, oh, it's okay. They don't care anyway, kind of thing. So if you start off with basically kind of in the handbook of expectations, they know what they have to do. And then, of course, building up, like he was saying, giving ownership to them and responsibility. The older ones have the responsibility because they've been there to teach the younger ones. And the younger ones need to learn, so when they get to that point, they can also teach the younger ones and so on. So it just trickles down. It's not going to happen overnight. It's been 23 years in the making that Mike's been here, and I've been here 20 years. So she's been here almost 10, and it's a yearly thing that we're just teaching new ones every year and building it up until they're seniors and then moving on to the next group. So structure would be the biggest thing, setting parameters, setting expectations, and sticking by them, whether it's good, bad, ugly, whatever, especially on the discipline side, so they know that they are there for a reason, they're committed, and that if they start messing around or weed themselves out, then they're done, they're gone. They need to go find something else to do.
Well, one of the things inside those parameters that we have our kids are on their game day attire, and it doesn't sound like much, but generally they're got to be dressed in polos and khakis. And at first they were like, what are we doing? Why are we wearing this? And basically told them, you're going to look professional. When you go out there, you're going to look professional and you're going to act professional. It's first impression, and that's what it is. Now when we go to places and we play other teams and that, and they look over and they see what other student athletic trainers are wearing and it's not even close, they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, God, did y'all see what they're wearing? Yeah, we see it. And it's, man, we're glad y'all make us do this stuff, you know, because, and we get a lot of feedback, not only from parents and other coaches, but other athletic trainers as well. And that's the expectation we set with them. And so they actually see that when they go to other places. And so it just goes back on them too. And they put more pride into the program. One of the things that when I got here 23 years ago, there was no structure here. And I talked with some of the students I had. I think I had probably 12 student athletic trainers at the time that have been in. And I flat out sat down and told them, and they were wanting it. I said, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to take a team picture, and it's going to be on the wall. So we have a team picture. I've got 23 plaques on the wall with all the student trainers that I've had here. They've never had that. We started a student trainer of the year at the end of the year that's voted on by us and our peers that starts from spring ball all the way to the banquet. We added that in there as well. But one of the things on ownership was I flat out told them, I did the first job list for a game in practice, and I flat out told the seniors, and I didn't have a lot of them, I said, this is your job. I do not want to touch this. I said, if there's a problem, I'll get involved. I said, no one rotates on the same job all the time. And I put that in place, and I have not touched that in 23 years. The kids, it's just gotten passed down. And when Mary got here, there was a lot more structure that was put in place with the student trainers and put in the expectations. We've tweaked them and try to get them the best. It's not always the best. You're pulling from different people to learn, just like we're doing now, to add into your program and to make it better for them and more enjoyable. But really the kids, the ownership of it, the size that we are, we do have to run this like a college program because we have so many students. We tell them at the beginning, not everybody's going to make varsity football. So you need to come tell us right now, based off your evaluation in spring ball, do you want to do something else? And we've had some come in and just want, I just want to stay with wrestling. Well, why do you want to stay with wrestling? I like being with that group. It's a small group. I have ownership of it. And they'll tell us that. And the coaches appreciate it too. And they'll request that certain student. But we've had those students who just said, I just want to do this. I said, okay. It helps them. It helps us. But giving them ownership of their own program, it goes a long ways, long ways.
Good.
I know.
I just looked it up. You guys have your handbook online on your website. So I just put a link in there. But again, if you Google search Allen ISD sports medicine or Allen ISD athletic trainers, it'll probably be one of the first links that pops up there. So if you look for, it's allenisd.org, and then it says /page/12. But if you look for sports medicine or athletic trainers, it's on there. So your handbook is on there. So anybody could use that as a guide or something that works for them. And again, I've heard that like our school district has Dobie. They have a really solid, consistently good sports medicine program. They have a handbook the kids have. They have policies and procedures. I talked to Chris Shattuck over at Dawson. They have a consistently good sports medicine program. They have a policies and procedures book, and they expect the kids to live by it. Again, they did the same thing, the khakis and the polos. This is the game day attire. If you're not in it, you're not going. And then you guys are saying that there. With us, maybe it's fear of having that consequence, but you know, we only have 10 or 12 kids, and I'm like, well, if I tell them, hey, you're not, you know, I know you forgot your khakis and you're wearing jeans, you can't go, then I'm like, well, now I'm down to 4 kids at the varsity football game, and it just makes my job harder. So maybe it's just me being lazy, and that's something that I needed to hear. But I think we need to get back to having that policies and procedures, have that one parent meeting, and continue to build the solid structure and consistency. Because from what I'm understanding, consistent structure, consistent rules builds consistent success. Okay, while I have you guys here, what is one thing that has not worked for you? Something you've tried and like, oh, that didn't go so well.
Oof. Yeah. It's a great question.
Johnny, I'm going to ask you the same in just a second.
And I'm not kind of drawing a blank on it right now, because there's something there. And I just can't remember. You know, you definitely can't. One of the things I just flat out say, you just can't harp on them and harp on them and harp on them and harp on them and tell them they're doing it wrong. You've got to have positive reinforcement with them. Otherwise, they're not going to learn. Yeah, they're all going to make mistakes. That's what education is. You're going to make mistakes, and you're going to learn, because you learn from your failures. It's just a matter of whether you're going to repeat that failure. So I'm having a hard time with that one. I mean, everything.
So maybe that you've learned from experience by continually telling them negative instead of being positive. You learn to be positive instead.
Yeah, because that doesn't ever work. I mean, if there's something that goes wrong, they're going to know about it from me. And usually if it's bad enough and we've got a situation, I've got to get involved in it, they know it's bad. Because I'm not always in it.
I'll give you an example that happened this year. The beginning of the football season, it was after the third game, I think, we have this product that we used.
First game.
And Mr. Communication here did not tell me that it needed to stay in the cooler, that we didn't need to dump it out. I'm thinking it's almost empty. So, yes, the kids are asking me after the game, yes, dump it out, clean it, whatever. So they dump out this whole cooler, and it's rather expensive stuff. Well, lo and behold, that was not supposed to happen. And so he went off on them. And so I turned around and went off on them. And so we kind of use that. He apologized to me, apologized to the kids. And we use that kind of as a learning tool of all of us, including us and the kids, we all got to make sure we're communicating all the time, because he may tell them something, I may be somewhere else, and then come back into the conversation, they ask me, and it's like, oh, wait, you know, so we kind of use that as a learning tool of, let's make sure we're doing this, and so we're not having this moment again, you know, and stuff like that, and it became a funny kind of situation the rest of the season and all that, but it was one of those to where we did something, it didn't work out like we wanted, but we learned from it and moved from there.
Yeah, that's a really good rule. Actually, my oldest son here is helping. He's switching the cameras. And one of the things that we always say is mommy and daddy are on the same team, right? And so, you know, did mommy tell you to do this? Okay, well then do that. And that's kind of what you guys are saying is, you know, you just have to communicate amongst you. And if you make a mistake, be willing to own that. You know, my son here, he's heard me say, you know, hey, daddy was wrong. I made a mistake there. I did that poorly. I shouldn't have treated you that way. I shouldn't have done that. Or, you know, hey, mommy had already told you this and you asked me again, now you have a negative consequence, that kind of thing. And so there you go. Like you said, being on the same team, communicating, that's definitely important there. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Johnny, something that has not worked for you as far as team building, or maybe even did the opposite of what you wanted.
Well, I think kind of doing the putting them in charge and having them be lead. Sometimes you may not always pick the right leader. And so, you know, you kind of have to make some adjustments in that. And you know, and then it's like, then you have to teach them tact. Like, you know, you don't just yell at somebody that needs to get done. It's like, hey, come here, let's get together as a group. Let's kind of figure out how this would work better and like try to teach them better approach to, you know, getting the point across and not having to yell and be negative and so forth. So, you know, sometimes I would just say it's either choosing the wrong person or not really giving them the right tools to be tactful. And so, you know, that's kind of just more how I corrected my, you know, my wrongs in a sense.
Yeah, you always got to be careful in picking that leader. I know you guys there, and Alan, you said you got to get. So you have any final thoughts, questions, cautions in building teams and team building there within the sports medicine program before you guys head out?
I would say the only thing is that, especially with the younger ones, they're a blank chalkboard. Mm-hmm. And when they come in, it's our job to teach them what we want them to be doing. And I think for me anyway, mm-hmm. I kind of get in a comfort zone to where I get so used to these kids knowing what to do, knowing where to go, knowing how to set up this or that or whatever, that I forget that, oh, wait a minute, maybe they don't know. I need to teach them. You know, I need to do this with them. I need to talk with them. One thing we do with our, when we vote on our head student athletic trainers for, at the end of spring ball that will be going into the fall in the varsity season, I bring those two or three kids in and talk to them and basically teach them how to be a leader amongst their peers, because it's a lot different amongst their peers than it would be for like us talking to our kids. So that's the biggest thing of, you know, making sure to teach them and not forget all the little things, positive influence, structure, and everything should work out over a period of time. I mean, like I said, it's not gonna happen overnight, but it does help.
Fantastic. All right, if you guys need to go, you can just hop off the call there. If you can stick around for a few more minutes, then I'll close it out. So, Johnny, final parting thoughts?
You know, kind of along the same lines, you know, it's, you just got to make sure that you're teaching those new kids what you want. And don't get complacent, because I think sometimes we do tend to get a little complacent. And then we're expecting them to read our minds. And we kind of like forgot that they don't really know what I'm wanting at that time. And, you know, when those good seniors leave and then you're like, not really remembering what you still have to teach, it's like, oh God, let me catch up. And so, you know, then we kind of get buried in the rest of the other work. And it's like, okay, let me, you know, try to get this taken care of and fix that. Sorry, I think something was trying to come in. So yeah, just, you know, trying to stay on top of your, of what you need.
All right, very good. So we have, like I said, consistently produce results, have consistent policies and procedures, do things consistently over time, know that you're not going to have an overnight success. One of the several of the artists, it says, you know, any overnight success you see, that artist has probably been at it for years. And you just have to think about that. You know, I'm not going to have an overnight successful program. It's going to be 23 years in the making. It's going to be, you know, I don't know how long you've been there, Johnny, but it's been, you know, 5 or 10 years that you've been there building a successful program and just making things consistently work. So again, I know what I need to go back and look at, or some of the things I need to go back and look at and kind of improve with our program here. And I really appreciate you guys joining me and sharing your wisdom with all of us here. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you guys there and Alan, I have your emails listed here, mary.miller@allenisd.org. And you guys also have Twitter, @AHS_sportsmed. Is there any better way to get a hold of you there and Alan?
No, either of those is good. Email is probably the best, but either way is fine.
All right. And then also, like I said, the webpage there has all of their pictures, their emails. So you can definitely reach out to them and ask them there. Like I said, their handbook is on there, so you can use that as a reference. And then they do a pretty good job of keeping stuff updated as far as the media. Obviously, they have a great sports program there, and that helps. But then also that increases the expectation of the sports medicine program as well. Johnny, I've got johnny.gomez@springbranchisd.com. And then you said you're not huge on social media. So is that the best way for somebody to reach out and get a hold of you?
That's the best way. I mean, we do have a Facebook page, but, you know, I'm, to be honest, I don't really keep up with it. And we do, I think, have a Twitter. Again, it's just too much for me to keep up with.
All right. So if you want to get a hold of Johnny, again, Northbrook High School here in Houston, Spring Branch ISD, Johnny, johnny.gomez@springbranchisd. Again, that's in the show notes, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/teambuilding. And if you want to get a hold of any of the Allen ISD ones, that's easy. You just Google Allen ISD Sports Medicine, and it'll have all four of them there with their contact information and everything like that. I am Jeremy Jackson, host of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I want to remind you that between April to the following March, if you sign up with MedBridge and use the code THESMB, you'll get a discount on that one. But also, I'll be doing a drawing each March as we celebrate National Athletic Training Month. And one person that uses my code, which is, again, THESMB, will receive a second year free. So as we're getting ready to come up on March 2018, I'll be drawing one person who's used that code, and they'll receive a second year free. And with MedBridge, you can receive unlimited CEUs online. You can even earn your EBPs for your national certification. So again, MedBridge.com or MedBridgeEd.com. If you Google that and then use code THESMB, which again, I have a link there in the show notes, and check those out. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/teambuilding. I want to thank the athletic trainers there at Allen ISD and Johnny for joining me, even though me and Johnny are both out of school today because it is less than 32 degrees in Houston, and this really everything shuts down. I mean, we had some record lows, but everything shut down. So also, my oldest son, Jonah, you're here helping out. He was switching cameras. He did a fantastic job, and I'm glad that he got to be a part of that. I know he's not going to be on the camera, but Jonah, thanks for helping out today. I appreciate it, buddy. So for Jeremy, the athletic trainers here that have taught us about team building, that is a wrap. Thanks, guys.